This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Later in the hour, stem cell news and remembering Robert Moog. But first, we've talked many times about the ongoing loss of the world's coral reefs. They are dying rapidly. Scientists estimate that as many as 20% of the coral reefs worldwide have been destroyed. And the culprits are both natural and human. From heat stress, the water is warm, very warm. Then you have diseases and the hurricane damage, sediment runoff from construction on land, and dynamite and chemical fishing. This hour, we're going to be talking about life and hope in the coral reefs because this week, the corals are spawning, offering a unique opportunity for humans to help them grow and reproduce. We'll be talking with a scientist who, along with her colleagues, is working to give some Caribbean corals in the Florida Keys a better chance of survival by boosting their reproductive activities. Think coral midwives. If you'd like to join our discussion, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Margaret Miller is a benthic ecologist at NOAA Fisheries, the Southeast Fisheries Science Center, and adjunct assistant professor in marine biology and fisheries division at the Rosenstiel School at the University of Miami in Florida. She joins us today from the offices of the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary in Key Largo, where she's been battered by Hurricane Katrina. Welcome to the program, Dr. Miller.
Thank you very much.
How are you surviving that hurricane?
We had a pretty exciting evening last night. A little bit more exciting than we were anticipating, I'm afraid.
Did it interfere with the project that you're doing?
It's had a huge impact on our project. And it's interesting because we had a similar situation last year where we had several hurricane preparations anyway last year, right during the spawning time as well. This year, we weren't really prepared for an actual hurricane impact here, but we had one anyway last night. Last night was actually one of the nights of the small window during which one of the reef-building corals that we work with was expected to spawn. And so we've been kind of land-bound here for the next couple nights. We won't be able to go out and dive. And it's exactly the time that we were hoping to be able to collect some of the spawn from that one species of coral.
Well, tell us the details. You collect the spawn, and then what do you do with it?
Generally, we're going out into the field. The corals spawn at night, somewhere between, say, 10 and 11 o'clock, and we use some sort of tent-shaped collectors that we deploy over the individual coral colonies. When the gametes are released, they float up into the collector, and we're able then to collect gametes from many different coral individuals and mix those together just on our boat to affect fertilization of the eggs and sperm mixing together. And then we take those larvae back. In this case, we have them back at our sort of makeshift field lab here in Key Largo. We just have them in large coolers, and we change their water, try to help them watch their developmental process, and try to keep them happy over the course of a week or so during the time that they're otherwise would be just floating, drifting loose in the ocean. Mm-hmm. At the end of about a week or so developmental period, that's at the point that they're ready to settle down onto the reef bottom and metamorphose into a polyp, which is actually the first building block of a new coral colony.
So you would then try at that point to reseed the colony?
That's exactly the goal then, to take those larvae after they're ready to settle and close them again in a certain area of reef substrate that we want to repopulate, mm-hmm. and hope that those larvae then are able to settle and survive in a reef setting and repopulate that area.
Mm-hmm. If you at home or you'd like to see the a picture of the population area, go to our website at sciencefriday.com and you can see the work that's going on there. How effective can you be in this small little project like this with saving the coral?
We are definitely in very early sort of pioneering stages of these processes. Because the corals only spawn once a year, we're limited in our sort of trial and error learning process to sort of one trial per year.
Right.
So it is very slow going, and we have been, over the past couple years, each year we do learn a little bit better ways that we think to enhance the fertilization success, and each step along the way we are improving, but we have not yet had a successful completion of the entire process that we planned in terms of being able to actually see large numbers of corals back onto the reef.
Is there something interfering with that, the success?
Well, hurricanes have been
a lot lately. Oh, wow,
As I said, last year also we had huge interference from, I think there were four different hurricanes that we had to deal with last summer during the period of time when we were trying to collect the spawn, raise the larvae, and do the seeding. Last year, it was the seeding of the Elkhorn coral cycle that we were kind of land-bound and weren't able to be out on the water. This year, we've had some challenge with collecting the Elkhorn coral larvae, but now during the raising period, we had a major impact last night. And honestly, we have baby Elkhorn corals back at our little makeshift field lab right now, but we had to keep they're in coolers, as I said. We had to keep their lids closed all night, and we honestly don't know if they're going to survive too well after a pretty stressful night last night.
Wow. Wow, maybe just wow. And see, are you out? Are you in the laboratory or at sea, or where are you with the little? Are there any aquariums? Any volunteers who can come and take these and put them in their aquariums and keep them alive?
We've worked with several aquarists actually over the years. Our actually intended plan this year for a larger scale effort was to keep the larvae actually out on the reef, in a sense, at a lighthouse. There's a lighthouse at Carysfort Reef. Mm-hmm. That has a sort of an old living space that the lighthouse keeper used to live in. But we have permission from the Coast Guard to occupy that structure, which is right on the reef, and to be able to use the reef water and the facilities right there in terms of keeping the larvae as close to the reef as we could. Due to the storm, we weren't able to execute that plan. So we have them just at our land-based field lab, and so we have to haul water to them.
Right.
So that makes it a little bit more labor-intensive as well.
You know, I'm astounded to hear how these are Elkhorn coral that are a threatened species almost?
Yes, that's the main species that we've been focusing on this year for the restoration effort, partly because of their threatened status.
There used to be so many of them, if I remember. I remember getting tangled up in them when I was scuba diving.
Absolutely,
I can't believe it.
Elkhorn coral used to be really one of the most abundant species of coral in the Caribbean, and it was ubiquitous in shallow habitats. But it's undergone drastic declines in the past couple of decades. It's important because it has a branching growth form. It's relatively it has a relatively high growth rate, and so it's really one of the important species in terms of building the reef in the Caribbean. And so the loss of that ecological function, since it's so rare nowadays, is really a point of concern for the well-being of Caribbean reefs in general.
Can it then be a candidate as a real endangered species?
It is actually currently in the process of being listed under the Endangered Species Act, but as a threatened species. The Endangered Species Act has two categories. So not as the most threatened, in other words, not an endangered listing, but a threatened species listing is currently in process by NOAA Fisheries right now.
Right. I know that that bleaching in corals, they lose the algae that lives in them that they need, is one of the main sources. And I know that happens from hot water, and the water has been much warmer down there, hasn't it been?
That has really been one of our concerns just over the past couple of weeks as well. The water here in the Florida Keys particularly has been a fair bit warmer than normal, and we have seen what we believe to be early stages of bleaching in Elkhorn coral as well as some other species.
Right.
That's actually probably one of the good news of the hurricane. That hopefully will head off the bleaching problem, because we'll have cloudy weather, obviously a lot of turbulence in the ocean over the next couple of days. And the good news is hopefully that will alleviate the threat of a major bleaching event at least.
Yeah, because I imagine this is the warmest the water is going to get all year now.
It really is. The water out on the reef has been like 89, 90 degrees over the past several. It's like a bath.
Wow.
It's really like bath water out there, and it's really not good for the corals to be that warm.
Mm-hmm. So is this a bust then this year? Your efforts, or, I mean, and you'll go back next year and try it again?
I hate to admit that yet. I have to say we're looking at that possibility. Our team this year actually has split up, and part of my colleague Alina Jamont is actually working in Puerto Rico, and we've partly split up for that purpose of trying to sort of spread the risk of weather and other contingencies. But hopefully tonight our colleagues in Puerto Rico will be able to make a large collection of the mounding coral that we're working with. and be able to, we won't be able to actually use those for seeding here in Florida Keys because we don't want to mix those populations, but we may at least be able to pursue some of the other laboratory experiments, some of the other basic research questions that we're trying to understand better, just the early life history of these species, hopefully to be able to, again, figure out other ways to enhance their success.
Is this something, is this seeding program localized, or does it go around in other parts of the world?
Our efforts have really been focused in the Florida Keys, and I'm not aware of other efforts in the Caribbean to do this sort of work. We have colleagues in Australia on the Great Barrier Reef that have done similar things. They have a little bit easier time, I would say, because they have a lot more coral there. And when the coral spawns in the Great Barrier Reef, it actually, there's enough of it, it actually forms slicks that you can see on
right.
the ocean surface the next morning.
Right.
So they don't have to fiddle around out diving in the middle of the night to collect the spawn. They can just go out the next morning and take a bucket and kind of scoop it up off the ocean surface.
Let me ask you a very basic question, because we have about a minute left. For people who are living in the Midwest and have never seen a coral, what is it? Is it an animal? You know, how is, they think it's a stony thing they see in the shops they buy.
It is a stony thing. It's an animal that acts like a plant, is the best way to describe it. I'm actually from Indiana, so I learned what a coral was when I was going to the Florida Keys to visit when I was a child. But it is an animal, but it has plants that live inside it. It has endosymbionts that are plants, and so it gets its food like a plant does by from the sun. But it is an animal, and it reproduces like an animal. But it has a hard skeleton. It makes a rocky skeleton, which is what forms reefs.
And if it loses that plant by being bleached out of it from the warm water, then the coral dies.
It can die. It can
yeah.
recover. It's a starving
yeah.
process, essentially.
Yeah.
So you can think about if you're not getting food, if it goes a long time that way, you're going to die. But if the conditions are alleviated and it's able to recover, they can recover in a shorter period of time.
Dr. Miller, thank you for joining us, and good luck to you.
Thank you so
Maybe
much.
Maybe next year we'll find out some better news.
We hope springs eternal.
Margaret Miller is a benthic ecologist at the NOAA Fisheries Southeast Fisheries Science Center, and she was talking with us from the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary in Key Largo. Good luck to her riding out this hurricane. We're going to change gear and come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short message to talk about stem cell news.